This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
We do need a password. Like, if you're ever actually being murdered, we need a password. It's got to be, like, rutabaga.
Rutabaga. That's a good one.
Because that's not obvious when, like, the murderer sees you being like, rutabaga! Rutabaga!
It would be like, I want kids. You'll be like, what'd you do with her? Where'd you take her? What'd you do?
You guys, before we get to the show, just a reminder, if you... Oh, wait, we didn't do our song.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. Okay.
Okay, ready? Yeah. I'm going to try to do it nicely this time. Jillian Pensavalle.
Patrick Hines.
Ba-da-da.
I'm sorry. When you said you were going to try to do it nicely, have you been actively trying to do a bad job this whole time?
No, I scream sung it last time, and it really didn't come out nicely.
Last time? Girl.
I know.
Take a listen. Weeks and weeks. Come on.
You guys, before we get to the show, just a reminder, look, we are having such a great time in the Patreon. If you're looking for more content, some more like fun, some laughs, some good times,
yeah,
come hang out with us. We are in the middle of doing, what's it called, girl?
I'll Be Gone in the Dark on HBO.
Yes.
Get it together.
Yes. It's the Michelle McNamara documentary about the Golden State Killer. You guys, like at 50, 30, however many years later, they figured out who it was through genealogy. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we're having fun, which sounds weird because it's about some horrible rapist, but we have your back. We're taking care of you on this. You know me, my experience with this, and we got your back. We had a whole thing on it in the last ep about how we're taking care of you, the listener.
Yes, and it's over 140 full bonus episodes to download and binge right this second. It's all of the series, episode by episode. So we say it every week. Lorena, Making a Murderer, Serial.
The Jinx.
Don't F with Cats.
Menendez Brothers, Tiger King.
McMillions.
McMillions. Remember her?
Yeah.
That was, what, 6 months ago?
And we're doing that Mafia one next, girl.
Yeah, oh, Fear City, please.
Yes.
Everybody, gather around, get your cold pasta and your nice Montepulciano, my favorite kind of red wine, and let's go.
Also, you can get ad-free versions of these episodes, after parties, quarantine check-ins, ringtones, the whole thing.
You never know what's going to happen at a Lady Pate's party. Everyone's invited. There's no pressure to come, but if you come, you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah. So you guys, it's patreon.com/truecrimeobsessed or go to our website, click on the Patreon link. Girl, anything from you this week?
Yeah, but I'm going to save it. Can we do the trailer first?
Yeah.
It's more of a PSA. I think the trailer needs to go first.
Oh, girl, what are we talking about this week?
We're talking about Trial by Media, Episode 4, King Richard.
God, this guy's a piece of shit, girl.
Such a piece of shit. And I don't like most of the people. I like the one woman we happen to speak to.
Yes, I'm with you. I've invented a term for one of these people. We'll get to it in a second.
Oh, great.
There's no trailer this week. So why don't you tell us what you were going to tell us? Say it now, girl.
So I am not going to be drinking because it's 100 zillion degrees. I got to keep myself hydrated. Mm-hmm. I just want to say, though, we have to say the word scrooshy a lot. It's going to sound like we're hammered. I don't know about you. You do you, but on my end, whenever I say scrooshy,
just water over here, girl.
I'm just saying it, and even if I like extend the scrooshy, I'm saying it because he's such an asshole and such a piece of shit. But that's a word. I think I'm stealing an old Dana Carvey bit when he was talking about the OJ case, where he's like, you can't say judicial system without sounding hammered. And so Richard Scrooshy is just an uphill climb, no matter how you slice it. So come with us on this journey, won't you?
Oh, my God. So one of the first people we meet is this guy named Donald Watkins.
Uh-huh.
He's a lawyer for this Richard guy. I feel like you're not going to like this, but I invented a term for him. I call him wonderful garbage.
Okay. I'm confused.
The thing is, I kind of like him. Like, he's really smart, and he's like a really good storyteller, but he's also garbage.
Girl, let's revisit this. And the thing I'm not going to say, but you know what I'm going to say. Well, when we get there at the end, when he tries to use the redacted for the redacted, please. I see your garbage. Don't love the wonderful. gonna stop you at the wonderful, but I guess we'll get there together, right? This is what we do.
Yeah,
here. Welcome.
That's how we do.
And the thing is, but Donald Watkins is saying immediately, it's again just introducing like what this whole series trial by media is.
High profile cases. There are two trials. Outside the courthouse and inside. Court of public opinion is very important. That's the first trial.
You have two cases. It's like the media madness and the case in the courtroom and the court of public opinion. Like, we get it. Oh my God. We're four episodes in. It's called Trial by Media. Thank you so much. We're aware.
Yeah, and his whole thing is like, his strategy is like to be everybody's best friend. And I'm like, girl, that's every lawyer's strategy. You didn't invent that, girl. Everybody is like, if you're the one that people like in the courtroom, then like maybe the jury's gonna like you and go with your side. Like, you didn't just come up with that. That's a thing that every lawyer says.
You know where I hear that the most? Only on the defense. The prosecution
totally
wants to have the fucking PowerPoints and the Excel spreadsheets and the facts. And the defense is like, can't we just all be friends?
We need to have a conversation with the DA, girl. We need to have a conversation with the prosecution. They're doing it wrong. They are fucking up every time.
This feels very OJ to me in a lot of ways.
Yes, yes, because the defense knows that like they're on the wrong side of history most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time. It's the whole like, look over there, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, in this episode they are on the wrong side of history, a lot of history. Let's just
for
get
sure
started.
Yeah, totally. So we learn about Birmingham. I was actually excited to learn a little bit about Birmingham, Alabama.
Birmingham was the past. It was the center in terms of civil rights in Alabama back in the 1960s. There was not much modern industry. Whatever old line industries were there had gone. It was pretty clear that better days were behind until HealthSouth came along.
All of a sudden, there's this like new business called HealthSouth. HealthSouth. I can't even say it.
HealthSouth. It's a shitty name for a shitty corporation. I also really don't appreciate how everyone was like, Alabama was not in great shape. Her best days were behind her. She was nothing until HealthSouth came along. And I'm like, how fucking dare you?
You are having no trouble saying HealthSouth. I can't do it.
You know why? Because you're trying to hit the TH too hard. It's one word, HealthSouth. You're going HealthSouth?
HealthSouth. Yeah, yeah, HealthSouth. HealthSouth.
By the end of this, by golly, you're going to get it.
HealthSouth.
You almost got it. Close. By the end of this, hopefully. Hopefully this won't take an hour and a half to record. Listeners, come on this journey with me, won't you? Let's see. You know who can say HealthSouth? Not just me, but whoever is doing the voiceover for this piece of shit commercial from the 80s.
As the fastest growing healthcare company in the world, and with the commitment of healthcare professionals that share our chairman's vision, the momentum of the past decade is taking us right into the 21st century.
And we learn that, like, HealthSouth kind of came out of nowhere, out of the clear blue sky, and was suddenly like the leader of the medical healthcare revolution.
But we don't know what it does, and it never tells us. We never learn. I was like paying close attention the second time I watched this. It's a healthcare company.
But what does that mean?
Right. And they're saying like it's the center of the healthcare revolution. But like what? And then we learn about Richard Scrooge. Is that how you say it?
Scrooge.
Scrooge. Richard Scrooge.
This is going to be so between HealthSouth and Scrooge.
Yikes. You guys are really in for it this week.
We're just going to sound hammered. What? HealthSouth and Richard Scrooge.
So, like, the thing is, like, all of these people are telling us about, like, what a wonderkind Richard Scrooge is.
He's the CEO of this thing.
And he's, like, this charismatic leader. They're saying there's absolutely nobody like him.
Richard was a motivator. He could take a room full of people, turn on the charm and the charisma, and by the end of the meeting, you're ready to go knock the doors down and go conquer the world.
And I literally just, I'm like, he just seems like a rich, out-of-touch white guy. There doesn't seem like there's anything special about him.
No, and this never ends well, you guys. This never ends well. He was the charismatic leader. He was at the center of it. There was absolutely nobody like him. Where have we heard that?
David Koresh is like the first thing that comes to mind.
Right, the Rashnishis. Like, it's just this whole, it just never ends well.
Yeah, and so, like, we're learning that they call him, like, this motivator, that he could, like, take a room full of people and just, like, turn up the volume and make them go out and want to conquer the world. And
that, like, doesn't work on me. Like, sitting in a conference room, sitting in, like, a big, like, hotel, like, meeting room with 100 people and some stupid, like, AC/DC song coming through the speakers, and it's like, what are we going to do today? Sell. Like, no.
You know what? I just had a thought that if somebody who had never met you said, like, what is Jillian like? I'd be like, okay.
Oh, God. All right. Oh, hold on.
I'm like, well, she's like really funny and she's a great friend and she's so wonderful. But like at the core of her being.
Oh, no.
You know, like when you go to like a work thing and your boss is like really pumped to share like the quarterly earnings and like everyone actually really gets into it for a minute. Like just for a minute, everyone's really excited about their job. Jillian's the one sitting there with her arms crossed.
Yeah. That's right. In all black. I'm the one in all black in the corner.
Right. Sure. That's exactly what I'm imagining.
I'm the one. While the guy's like, and we're going to have a great whatever quarter. I'm like, can I have some more vodka in this, please? Thanks. I'm the bitch in black in the corner asking for a refill.
There's one other weird thing that happens in this section. We learn that he wants to be a rock star, but the person who tells us this, did you recognize her?
Is she Growing Pains?
Joanna Kearns, the yes. Mom from Growing Pains.
Now, not all businessmen stay in their three-piece suits after work. In fact, this particular businessman turns into a rock star.
I caught her too, and I was like, huh.
Joanna Kearns.
There she is. But in addition to her,
she put up with Kirk Cameron shit for like 9 years. That is a thing I could not have done.
Kirk Cameron, fuck off. And I'll say it. I'll say it to you. I'll put my finger in his face. God.
He is still so, so hot.
Don't. Come on. He hates you.
I know.
He hates you and your being. He hates you. He hates your family.
I know.
He thinks Daisy is in danger. He doesn't like me because I'm a loudmouth woman. But he hates everything we stand for.
I know. But he's so hot.
Girl, don't say it again. We also meet two people here, Weston Smith and Aaron Beam, and they're former CFOs of HealthSouth. And you know, I'm just like, former, you know, these bitches have stories. And I'm just like, so ready. Because now you're like, okay, trial by me. Now this is episode 4. We kind of know what happens. And I'm just like, this guy gets off, doesn't he, right? Like, this is why we're all here.
You know what? Like, can we just say it now? Spoiler, this guy totally gets off. Because I've got questions along the way that I don't want to save to the end.
No, let's do it. Because he gets off. And then there's a little bit of a follow-up at the end. But yeah, he gets acquitted of everything we're about to tell you. Is that a spoiler? Too bad.
Right.
Like it is, but I'm sorry.
We wouldn't be here if he didn't get off.
Right. So the thing in the 90s, like this Richard Scrushy, again, sober guy, was all over the place. He's super rich. Like this HealthSouth thing was making $1 zillion and nobody knows what it does. Nobody knows why. Right. But like we hear from a journalist, like it was a typical local boy makes good story. And we get this news report where this is in Alabama. It's like,
you can drive on the Richard Scrushy Parkway to the Richard Scrushy campus. There's the Richard Scrushy building, the Richard Scrushy library, the Richard Scrushy ball field.
You can drive on the Richard Scrushy Parkway and then take exit 19 to the Scrushy campus, but don't forget to stop by the Scrushy building, not to mention the Scrushy library. Why don't you and the kiddies catch a game at the Scrushy ball field? I'm like, who is Richard Scrushy? Like, who is
it? It sounds so awful. I know.
I don't want to go on that road trip. The Scrushy Parkway to the campus, to the library. I actually fucking love libraries, but that's a whole other thing. But like, and if it's Scrushy has his name attached, girl, no.
Forget it.
Also, I don't know if this is, there's a torrential downpour happening in my neighborhood right now, which I love. I'm excited about it. But if you hear it, that's what it is.
Okay.
It's actually fucking amazing. So if you hear, anything, sorry, listeners, but come on.
So it all comes to a screeching halt on November 4th, 2003.
Earlier this morning in Birmingham, Alabama, an indictment was unsealed charging Richard Scrushy with fraud, money laundering, and other offenses based on his participation in a multi-billion dollar scheme that defrauded members of the public who invested in HealthSouth.
And he gets indicted on fraud, money laundering, and, quote, other offenses.
I have in quotes and other offenses. And they say based on his participation in a multi-billion dollar scheme that defrauded members of the public who invested in HealthSouth. And this is where I'm like, oh, so it's kind of, and we don't really get into this, but it feels like a pyramid scheme because all of the
wealth
of the wealth of HealthSouth is about the investors. And I'm like, but what do they do though? And they never answer that. And it's all about the investors.
Yes. Yeah. And so now we start seeing like the news footage of him and his wife being chased by all these cameras. So the wife, I was wrong about this. I'm like, so the wife, whose name we never get. We do get it eventually. I can't think of it now. She is always smiling from ear to ear. She's
a Stepford Wife girl.
She totally is.
I think he's an amazing man. I'm so thankful to be married to him.
I'm so proud of him. I trust him inherently. He bought me the jewelry that I'm wearing, so I love him.
Oh my God. And we'll come back to her. She's a piece of work, as my friend Jillian would say.
Oh, she sounds great.
Yeah.
But we meet Alice Martin, the one woman in the room.
I really love Alice, but again, when this is all over, we gotta sit down and have a conversation with her about how she does her job.
I will buy the Margs, I'll buy the Cosmos, but Alice girl, we have to have a talk about the pizzazz factor.
I know.
It pains me to say that is needed.
What?
I hate the fact that that's even a thing we're talking about here, because I'm with Alice. I love the facts. Give me the facts. Give me the evidence. Give me the this. But we got to stop with the PowerPoints. We can't with the PowerPoints, Alice girl. I love you.
Girl, I got to tell you that, like, it's the only good thing about me is my pizzazz factor. It's all I have, girl.
Girl, it's all you have. And I love you for it.
It's all I got.
Your pizzazz factor is off the charts. But like, you gotta stop with the PowerPoints. And Alice, it's not just you. It's not, you're in good company. Like Marcia Clark and Alice Martin.
I was just gonna say, it's you and me and Alice and Marcia Clark sitting down for drinks, and we're like, girls, this is how you do it.
Can you imagine though? Ooh. Mike, I'm coming home late tonight, where the girls have some stuff to say.
But so yeah, this guy, Richard Scrushy, he's looking at 650 years in prison.
Right. And here's the thing. They could build this case because five former CFOs at HealthSouth sang like goddamn canaries.
I know.
Five of them. You think about that. First of all, why do you have five former CFOs in such a baby company? That's like, CFO is chief financial officer. That's the Steve. So it's like as if we've been through five Steves. That's crazy. That's ridiculous. And two of them we already met, Weston Smith and Aaron Beam.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay. So all five of them have pled guilty and agreed to testify against Scrushy.
It really is amazing.
And Alice Martin's like,
I was confident that Richard Scrushy knew about the fraud. It's a classic case of greediness. Richard Scrushy was poster boy for it's not enough.
Yeah, I had no doubt he was fucking guilty. Do you need, like, I'm sorry. Do you have any, is there a question? Like, what is happening here?
Girl, guess who's here?
Who?
Richard Scrushy.
I lost my mind.
I
couldn't, and that's when I was like, oh God, here we go. He got away. Shit.
HealthSouth was very, very important to me, and I did live and breathe it every day. Once I was indicted, I was accused of things that I would never do.
We learn right from the minute we meet him that he's here to just say, I did nothing wrong. They were coming after me. I had no knowledge. And the whole idea is that, like, I was an entrepreneur and I made it, and people just wanted to take me down because I was successful.
Right. Like, he has all these awards from 30 years ago. Like, girl, let it go. Like,
right.
Like, give it a rest. And he's like talking about the risks of being an entrepreneur, and you have to have fire and passion. And he's like, the media took everything I owned, all those facts, and they made it look like I'm a criminal because I had like 4 boats and 8,000 cars and those ugly McMansions. Like, aren't I innocent till proven guilty?
The media took everything that I ever bought in my life and put it in the newspaper to make me out like I'm some horrible criminal guy because I had a boat and a few nice cars and a couple of houses. I mean, come on. I'm innocent, right? Until proven guilty.
And the thing is, I get a vibe from him that he just wants to list his assets again. Like, he's not saying that as like, these yachts just happened to me. These McMansions just poof appeared. I didn't buy them with the money I stole from you. And like all of the shit. But I get the sense that he's that much of an asshole that he just wants people to know like how much he really had at that one time. Like, he's just bragging again.
Right. And so he's saying like, you know, I am innocent. I am mounting like the best defense money can buy. And he's saying that like, at first I had this lawyer, this like fancy pants lawyer who was like, you have to shut up, don't talk to the press. And that felt very wrong to me. And so
and I'm like, that's every lawyer's job.
I know.
Shut up.
Which is why this guy, Donald Watkins, who we met in the beginning, like his approach was revolutionary. He's like, girl, you take every call, you go in 60 minutes, you talk to the Wall Street Journal.
Right.
Anybody who wants to talk to you, you talk to them. And this is where Scrushy is like, yeah, that's the guy I want.
Yeah, I want him because I want the fucking attention.
Right.
So he goes with Donald Watkins, and this case had 85 counts.
And even Watkins is like, girl.
Whoa. He's like,
I knew 85 counts. Man, that's a tall order. I'd done criminal cases, maybe 10 counts, 20 counts, nothing of the magnitude of 85. I saw it as a challenge. Richard Scrushy was the most hated man in Birmingham. He was the devil.
Richard was the most hated man in town. And he's like, the whole thing is like, we have to put our story out there. Watkins is all about the court of public opinion because he thinks that if the public likes you, that will find its way into the courtroom and everything will be gravy.
Because he's trying to use the press to like taint the jury pool. And guys, it works. Like the thing is, he's not wrong. It totally works.
So here's what happens. And just to be clear, Donald Watkins is a black man.
Yes, yes.
And so Watkins says, look,
the white community hated him for the most part. But the black community was neutral. And so I told Richard, that community may run to you when you're in trouble and not run from you. And it may make a difference in your life and the outcome of this circumstance.
So he pulls in Bishop Jim Lowe, who's a pastor for Guiding Light Church.
Yeah.
And just says, like, basically, why don't you just use the black community and suddenly be religious and maybe this will help our case.
But like the thing about it was like, I really like this guy.
I do
like
too.
We see him like preaching and he's very animated. What were you saying before?
Pizzazz factor.
Yeah.
Do you see the shoulder? Suddenly my shoulder was at the what? Oh, did, oh, you rang? Pizzazz factor. Factor. Ooh, little Fosse shoulder move. Fun laughs, good times.
His pizzazz factor is through the roof this
Liza,
guy.
Move over. Cheetah, yeah, move over. Pizzazz totally. Factor with this guy.
So what happens is Richard Scrooge starts going to Bishop Jim's church. And Jim welcomes him with open arms.
Richard Scrooge, he came to me and he said, Bishop, I've been hurt. I've been hurt by what people said about me and about my family. I need a place where my family can worship. I felt like this is where the Lord told me to come.
Maybe I'm an idiot, but I believe that Jim saw the best in this guy and really wanted to help him.
I totally agree with you. I think Bishop Jim has the best intentions, but Donald Watkins pushed Richard Scrooge into this church that he would never go into saying, you need the black community right now, and we are going to take advantage of this community for the worst reasons, and we're going to get into it. Because we get Richard Scrooge today, and he's like,
there were white churches I couldn't go into. Because the congregation was made up of many of the white haters. You know, they wanted to believe that I was the monster that the media was trying to make me out to be.
I tried to go to the white churches, but they were just filled with haters, y'all.
Right.
And I'm like, haters? Are you kidding me? He's like, they just want to believe I was a monster because of all my commissions.
Yeah, and he's saying that like the black churches welcomed him with open arms, and he's saying like he's making all these connections that are things you just don't say out loud. He's like,
the black community welcomed us, and maybe it's because of the persecution that they went through. For some reason, they understood persecution a lot better than a lot of the white churches.
Why they understand persecution more, but they do. Right. And I'm like, girl, open a fucking book. Oh my God, read a book. You don't know why. And the thing is, he's not just worshiping at these churches. He's preaching. He's running the show.
This is the thing that like made me crazy, which was that like, he's not there 5 minutes before he's like up on the altar giving sermons. And like there's footage of it, and it cuts to the congregants who are like arms crossed. They are not into it. Like it's
they are me at every company dinner.
Yeah, the disconnect is very strange, but Bishop Jim really wants him to be there.
Right, but Donald Watkins, his lawyer, wants him to be there more than anybody.
Yes.
And Watkins actually tells Richard, stop giving money to those stupid museums, you idiot. Start giving money to the black community so that they will be on your side in front of the cameras, and we can use this in Birmingham, Alabama.
Yeah.
And maybe we can kind of fix the jury here. That's what this is. And Donald Watkins says as much.
Scrooge had a foundation. Philanthropic foundation, and he was persuaded that that is fine and that's deserving and all that stuff, but you might want to redirect some philanthropic money to communities that are not used to getting your kind of money and any significance.
But then, because that wasn't enough,
he's got to reach a wider audience, girl.
A wider audience, if I may. Heyo. Richard and his wife, Leslie, there's her name, they start a TV show called Viewpoint.
Welcome to Viewpoint. I'm your host, Richard Scrooge, and with me today is my wife and co-host, Leslie. On Viewpoint, we allow our guests to present their views and opinion without negative media spin. We believe the truth and positive views will have a great impact on our community.
This is what makes me crazy. They try to make it as like, this is just about letting our guests voice their opinion without that negative media spin. They're trying to make it a news show, but it's a religious opinion show. And that is categorically not a news show. If you want to have a religious show, have a religious show. If you want to have an opinion show, which is basically our podcast, have an opinion show.
You know who's got a religious show? Kirk Cameron.
Kirk Cameron. We're not talking to her anymore. And so even their producer, they hire this Bobby Randall guy to be the executive producer who says,
if you watch the local media, everything was bad. He said, I got to do something to try to defend myself. This is my buddy that was getting, hammered. We had to create our own little Fox network, if you will, to do something.
Everyone was talking shit about Scrooge, so we basically had to make our own Fox News network so that we can, like, basically, like, throw out our propaganda into the world.
Do you know who their first guest is?
Girl.
I almost texted you. I was like, please tell me you know who this is.
Please. Their first guest is Roy Moore.
Roy Moore, you guys, who I guess I forgot was like the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court. I know that that is true. I just forgot it. But
do you hear that?
Is that?
That's thunder and lightning.
Holy shit.
It's awesome.
They don't like us talking about Roy Moore. God
Fuck
is
you,
like.
Fuck you, Roy Moore. Come for me. God's like, no, girl, that's not you. She's like, no, you guys are fine. It's all the other shit that's going on in the world. Stop making this about you and Patrick for 5 seconds. There's a lot of other shit going on in the world.
So Roy Moore is like that pedophile who ran for Senate in Alabama and lost to Doug Jones, the Democrat, which was the first time in like 800 years that's ever happened.
He was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Alabama twice, and he's been fired twice. He's that piece of shit. Who was cruising the mall, literally cruising the mall for teenage girls. He's a Trump guy.
Yeah, his loss in that Senate race is like the greatest thing ever. You guys register to vote 2020, please.
And remember real quick, he's already been charged. Scrooge has already been charged and he is a...
God is really mad at Scrooge. Yes, he was, girl.
Yes, girl. Girl, yes.
God's pizzazz factor is on fire today, girl.
Through the roof. Literally through the roof. Wouldn't it be great if she was like, ka-koom, if there was like a big lightning factor and we're like, God, you're, ooh, girl, I'm loving you today. And remember, like, Scrooge's already been charged. He's awaiting trial. Just another mediocre white guy, like, failing up. He's like, I'll just make a show, y'all. Like, I'm just going to make a show. He's awaiting trial. Like, and he's like preaching at these black churches. Like, it's also manipulative and just so obvious.
So now lawyer Donald is talking about, like, it's not going to be just him defending Scrooge in court. Like, he's got to build a team. So he's trying to figure out who he wants to get. And of course they consider, like, the fancy pants lawyers from New York and Washington, D.C. But lawyer Donald is like, no, girl, you need to be from Alabama to be on my team.
Alabama requires a down-home talent level. You just need to be baptized in the Alabama experience. You got to have a Southern drawl. You got to go to church. You have to know about the Crimson Tide, the Auburn Tigers.
Enter Jim Parkman, who's the defense.
Are you going to be mad at me if I tell you that I kind of like this guy?
God damn it. I knew you would. But Donald legit calls him a good old boy, which is so gross, girl.
I know. And he plays it up. And, like, these guys really are garbage. But, like, I guess I just get what they're doing. Like, I mean, and I know you do, too. Like, I know you're not an idiot. I just, they're really good at being garbage. And I don't want to say I was impressed by it, but I was kind of like, wow. Like, to see it in action is remarkable.
You know what I would love? I would love to see a prosecution team pull this shit.
Exactly. Because you know what they had that the prosecution never has? Girl, say it with me.
Pizzazz factor.
You did the show.
Na, 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 na.
So the thing about Jim Parkman is that, like, he really does do this thing so well where he's like that, the big-eyed, like, well, you don't say, sir.
Donald said that he had heard about me. And they felt like they needed a lot more personality than what the government generally brings. I had a dream of doing a big case one day. From the day I was in law school, I knew, this is it, Jim. Here's your pressure, buddy. Let's see if you can do it.
I'm just a small town lawyer. I've always dreamed of having a big case. And the
girl, you sound great. Put that on your resume. You sound great. A big case? You really nailed it. I felt it in the back of your throat there. You killed it.
Thank you.
Truly.
I've never done an impression that's impressed you before. This is a big moment for
that
me.
That was really, really good. And I'm not, that is not my pizzazz factor coming in. That's me being honest.
Well, he's just saying that, like, I've always wanted to do a case like this. And Lawyer Donald, like, the main lawyer here, he's like, look, this guy didn't have any high-profile cases. He didn't have anything that went to the Supreme Court. He just had that Alabama thing that was going to be perfect that I knew would play well to the jury. So, girl, you're hired.
Right. And if anyone knows anything about a pizzazz factor, it's Jim Parkman, because he's like,
the government's case is what we refer to in the law as a Swiss cheese case. That means, boy, folks, there are a lot of holes in it.
You have to tear down the case by showing all the holes in it. They call it the Swiss cheese factor. And I'm like, that's always been a thing. Like, your story's full of holes, Swiss cheese. Right. But he's like, and then you got to make it fun. That's the right. key to this. You got to make it fun.
That's the pizzazz factor. And I'm just saying he's totally right, because Parkman is the one that is telling us throughout this whole thing. The juries are so bored by the facts and the charts and the money and the bank statements and whatever. It's like, we know that money was stolen here.
Right.
But Jim is like, girl, you just tell a good story, you know?
Right, because now it's like 2005. It's first day in court. And we learn that Alice, our best friend Alice, her opening statement was told through the use of PowerPoint. And I just have, oh, no.
I know. And she's proud of it to this day.
I know.
We see the PowerPoint. We actually see it.
Our opening statement told through the use of PowerPoint when the company was founded, the names of the founders, the business of HealthSouth, how it made money, these reports, these 10-Ks and 10-Qs that the Securities and Exchange Commission requires, those are statements that if you lie on them, that's a federal crime.
It went through the company, how and when the company was founded. The names of the founders, how they made their money. Report, like, Steve is like, what are you saying? Boring. This is my favorite. This was Steve's favorite part of this episode. She's talking about 10Ks and 10Qs. What are you talking about? Like, I'm just like, girl, like, Alice, I'm on your side. Just say that he's a piece of shit. Show me the fucking Monopoly boat and I'll be on your side.
Exactly. It's so by the book. It's like, her whole thing is that, like, she's still, and I have this in my notes 80,000 times, she still cannot figure out how they lost. Because she's saying, like, what we did in our opening statement was give the jury a roadmap for all of the testimony that they're going to hear over the, you guys, wait for it, next several months.
I know.
They put up, like, the tax lawyer and the phone guy and the, you know what I mean? Like, I'm saying, like, in her mind, this would have gotten her an A in law school. She gave them a roadmap, told them what they were going to see, and then they saw it. So she should win.
We need to be adjunct professors at law school. We have to get in there and be like, here's how you really get everyone's attention. Because Jim Parkman stands up and he says today, he's like, when she was going through those PowerPoints, I was like, she was like rolling his eyes and fake yawning and totally playing to the jury.
I'm sitting there, I'll be honest with you, making faces to the jury like, oh God, you know, let's get this thing, come on. And I said, wow, folks, did you hear all this stuff that this government said in this case? Good gracious alive. It doesn't sound like we stand much of a chance.
And so when Jim finally stands up, he lays it on thick. He was like, that was exhausting, right? Also, we're the underdog. Welcome to the South. What do you want? He's Blanche Devereaux. I'm just a devastating with a tiny little body. He's just the whole freaking thing. And then he really hits it home and he goes,
we don't have much of a chance, except for something my grandmama used to tell me when I was growing up as a young boy. No matter how thin they make a pancake, it still has two sides to it. So what I'd like to do is, you've just heard the side from the government. What I want you to do is, let's flip that pancake over, okay? And let's cook the other side.
Is this guy for real?
I know.
And then we get this montage of, like, Kyle the journalist, Alice, and they're all like, that fucking pancake thing. That goddamn pancake thing. It's all he said.
The two sides. Oh, God. My grandmother used to always say,
it's like a pancake. You said there are two sides to every issue.
No matter how thin you pour a pancake, it always has two sides.
He said, now we're going to show you the other side of the pancake.
But wait, will you give us the news reporter, because there's one news reporter, his name is Kevin Stewart, and he is like reporting this like hard news about the pancake story.
He said, and I quote, "No matter how thin a pancake is, there's always two sides, Tom." These reporters ate this shit up. They were reporting outside the courthouse with fucking spatulas in their hands.
Yes, yes.
They were just like, remember the spatula thing? And so everyone, it's so funny, like watching it back now, like everyone was just like, we have to talk about the spatula thing, right? They're like talking to the producer, like we're doing the spatula thing. Okay.
Right.
And it's so perfectly edited. They're like, that goddamn spatula pancake thing. Like, what is this?
So Alice and the prosecution, their whole thing was to show all the riches, all of the boats and all of the houses and how much more money, and it's all stolen, it can't be real. And Perkman is saying our strategy was to tell the story of how he brought himself up from nothing and how, yes, he had all of these things, but he earned it. So we learn about how this company came into existence, and basically, again, his lawyers are saying to us, like, you guys, he's not like a fancy pants guy. He was just a respiratory specialist who saved his money and got with three or four of his friends, and he was like, let's build a rehab business.
Which is great, like, awesome.
How do you say it? Is it bada bing, bada boom, or bada boom, bada bing?
It's bada bing, bada boom.
Bada bing, bada boom. They're making $1 trillion a year.
Right. There's, between the bada bing and the bada boom, there's some theft happening and some fraud happening. But like,
exactly.
And the thing is, like, it's like we, on this podcast, we love just making the thing. That's why we're here.
Yes.
You had
yes.
this, you worked really hard. You made this idea, and oh my God, look where you are. Look at where you are. Look at where you started this whole thing. But he's lying, though.
Right.
And that's where I draw the line.
Right. And so Alice, the DA Alice, is saying to us, like,
the defense story was that Richard's a victim too, and he's just a little old respiratory therapist who made it good on an idea, but he was depending on these sophisticated people, and they led him down the wrong path. I had no doubt in my mind that Richard Scrushy was guilty of the financial fraud occurring at HealthSouth.
Like you, she's not buying this story at all. Like,
right.
This whole, he was a little respiratory therapist who made good on a good idea. She's like, that is not true at all. She's like, we know for a fact that this company was not reporting real earnings since the moment they went live on NASDAQ. And so she gets all the former CFOs on the stand to back this up. And they're saying to us on the stand, year over year, month over month, like, we were not, like, we would go to him and say, like, the numbers aren't good, girl. We've got to report, like, we're not going to meet the Wall Street expectations. They give us this description of him, like, turning red and shaking.
Right.
And saying, you get out of my office, which, by the way, is a line I'd like to be able to use at some point.
Right. They were like, oh, he's, like, twitching, and his face is, like, red like a tomato. And I'm like, girl, she's right here. Like, I have to talk about this with her.
The point is here, the prosecution is saying he not only knew about the fraud, he directed the fraud. And the defense is saying not only did he not direct the fraud, he had no idea. All of these CFOs were scheming behind his back to make him like look like the bad guy to take the fall.
And the thing was, it was all about the stocks. So if you're lying about what you're making quarterly and then it gets down to Wall Street or however that works, still not right. entirely clear. But the point is, it's a...
Whenever we cover stuff like this, it's always a little bit... We always get to that middle part where we're like, wait, what happened?
Yeah, but the point is, they lied. The point is,
right. Yeah, yeah,
they lied, and it was all about the stocks.
Right. So a bunch of these CFOs testify, and it's super boring because really, this is all about the closing arguments, girl.
Right.
And the only thing you need to know going into the closing arguments is that the defense is trying to pin this whole thing on this one CFO named Bill Owens. Okay, Bill Owens. The only name you need to know, girl. Take it away.
So 55 days later, trial's over. Time for closing statements. There are two major things that happen.
Here.
The defense decides to really, really make it a goddamn spectacle, as if they haven't already.
Yeah.
Because Jim, the lawyer, is like, oh, this has all been a dress rehearsal. Closing statements are opening night, y'all. It's the day of the show, y'all. Here we go.
Closing statements are opening night.
That's how Jim feels.
That's amazing. His pizzazz factor is just through the roof on this one.
He's just like, he has like glitter and sequins. He's so ready. All right, so Jim's whole thing from the beginning was the Swiss cheese nonsense.
Yeah.
Like, your story's full of holes and that, the Swiss cheese mentality.
So in addition to the Swiss cheese, he's, like, in a meeting, like, planning his closing statement. And he's like, how could we, like, personify the cheese? And someone's like, well, what about a rat? The rats are the first ones.
I love how he needed an intern to be like, I don't know, rats and cheese. But he's such a brilliant mind. He and Marjorie Deal are that level of genius. Like, that's right. Like, come on, Jim.
I know. So he's like, the rats are like the CFOs, right? Rats, when a ship is going down, they don't care about anything. They are the first things off the ship, just like the CFOs. And so this kid, this intern's like, look, I found this picture of a rat. And Parkman is like, great. Have it blown up for me. Bring it to the courthouse. I'm using it in my clothes tomorrow.
So he gets up. It's his closing statement. And he ends with,
I got up for the closing argument. We had two big boards, which were hidden. So when I got to the end of my closing statement, I said, and now let's just get down to the real brass tacks about this case. Let's talk about the rat. Who's the rat? And I pulled off something in front, and there was my poster of a cartoon rat with the cheese.
Let's not forget what this is really all about. And it's this big reveal. He has like some poster with like a poster with like a sheet over it.
He pulls the sheet off the poster and it's a picture.
It's like a cartoon rat holding a piece of Swiss cheese with holes in it. Get it? Please. The jury loves it already. And I'm like, our justice system is so fucked. I can't even talk about it.
Because you know that Alice brought like a PowerPoint to her clothes and it was like,
four, girl.
I know.
The poor thing.
Because what Parkman is saying is like the rat looks, what's that guy's name? The one?
He's saying that the rat was supposed to be animated to look like Bill Owens, who was the guy who was the real mastermind behind this thing. So he's like, get it? Like, you know, you'd recognize him anywhere. That rat, Bill Owens. And because the rat was holding the cheese, so the rat was meant to be Bill Owens, and the cheese was the government story, which was full of holes. Honestly, it's harder to follow than a PowerPoint, to be honest with you.
All right, so both lawyers on the defense are doing part of the close, right? So Parkman finishes his, and now Donald, the lawyer, gets up to do his part of the close, and girl, gird your loins.
This bitch gets up and walks to the American flag that's in the courtroom, picks it up, wraps it around himself. And today, before we get into what really happens, today Watkins is like,
what I found that has worked consistently throughout my legal career is an appeal to patriotism. I said, look, the protection of that flag, it means a lot to me. It lifted me from where I was as a child to where I am today.
Then we hear what happens. He goes on to tell this story, and the editing in this moment is perfect.
It is perfect.
Because he tells this ridiculous story.
I actually started to tear up when he started telling
it. Girl, come on. Wait a second.
I know. But I started to tear up a little bit. And then the editing is done in such a way where the editing is telling us that he told this story for 9 hours. And they think it's so ridiculous. They're just choppily editing the story.
And doing like little crosses. Donald Watkins, a black man, does to defend a mediocre white guy who lied and stole money is he literally wraps himself in the flag and uses the civil rights movement to defend a mediocre white guy who stole money and exploited the religious and black community of Birmingham, Alabama.
And then one day, 12 people like you, who were strangers to each other, said, no, Miss Watkins' little kids can drink out of any water fountain that worked. Then another group, just like you guys, said that use any bathroom. You can sit at a lunch counter, buy a hamburger, french fries, and a small Coke, go to any school.
What he's saying is that, like, you know, you guys have power and you're important. You're as important as the other 12 people, just like you, who decided that I could drink out of any water fountain, that I could use any bathroom, that I could sit at any lunch counter.
And this is when they're editing, when they're fading in. He's like, I can have a cheeseburger and fries, and I can do this. And 12 strangers, just like you, said that, no, Mama Watkins' babies can eat from whatever frat house they wanted to go to. And I'm like, the fact that this man, and the fact that in the beginning of his whole defense plan was like, hey, let's totally take advantage of the black community.
Yes.
This guy is a fucking disgrace. He's doing this in Birmingham, Alabama, and using the civil rights movement to defend a mediocre white dude who failed up. I won't have it, Patrick. I won't have it.
I also feel like we're giving mediocre people a bad name. I wouldn't even call this guy mediocre. I would call myself mediocre, girl. How dare you?
How dare you? You have pizzazz. Your pizzazz factor is through the roof. You are not mediocre at all. But the, and also the thing is, this bitch remembers that closing statement word for word. And right. you know that the crew was like, we only had to like two.
I know.
Today, it's like 2:45. Are you still going on? He remembers every last word of it.
He goes beyond the civil rights movement to say this is their Iwo Jima moment.
Iwo Jima. And I'm like, this guy, and he doesn't mention his mediocre client once. This guy is a travesty. He's an asshole. He invoked the civil. I can't, and I won't.
But wait, so we see Alice back in the day, the DA, outside the courtroom. She can't believe it either. She's like,
we talked about the evidence. The defense talked about, let's say, Montgomery, civil rights, wrapping themselves in the flag, Iwo Jima. If you've got an irrelevant subject, it was probably in the closing you heard today.
And then it cuts to Alice today, and the director says to her, so you're the government, and he's wrapped himself in a flag. And she goes,
securely.
Securely. And he goes, the director goes, so how do you beat that? And she goes,
We didn't.
And she says it like with a smile on her face. Like she's got a good sense of humor. Right. Like we cut back and we find out that he is not guilty on all counts.
Right.
And guess what, girl? You are so right as always, because we see the Bishop Jim again, who,
yeah,
I love.
I know.
And Bishop Jim basically just says to the camera, yeah, we basically never saw that guy again.
After the trial, I told him, this is your church home. This is where you belong. And you must always remember that. We did not see him too much more after that at all.
He goes, yeah, I didn't see him much after that. He, yeah, lied to you. You were scammed. How dare he?
Yeah.
So now Jim, his own lawyer, is like, hey, Richard, you should get the hell out of Dodge, girl. Like, I don't care where you go.
There's just too much opinions left in this case here. I don't care where you go. Go buy an island. Just move on. And he, of course, he didn't do it.
And of course, a few months later, after the Health South trial, Richard Scrushy was indicted once again,
yeah,
for bribing the former governor of Alabama. And he's,
yes,
on TV saying the same old shit. Well, everyone's lying, and his wife with that stupid hair, I just love my man, and all this bullshit. And guess what? He's sentenced to 7 years in federal prison. And while he's there, a civil court found him liable for all of the Health South fraud.
But then we're not even done, because Lawyer Donald also gets indicted for some crazy thing.
Federal fraud. You guys, they're all fucking liars. But also, the reason we're talking to Scrushy is because he's out. Like,
right?
he had to pay $2.8 billion, billion with a B, but we know he's never paying that shit.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
he works as like a consultant. Who is paying him to like defraud their company? But then Donald gets in business with his son. So Donald Watkins Jr. and Sr.
Yeah.
are getting in trouble for stealing all this fucking money from all these people. And they're in prison today.
Donald Watkins goes to jail for 5 years, you guys.
They scammed Charles Barkley, the basketball player, out of all this money.
Is that right?
Yes.
It was. How did you find that out?
I googled.
Oh. And then finally, you guys, the final insult to injury. That pancake story, guys, not real.
Because we're home with Jim the lawyer making what? Pancakes. And I'm like, oh my god, trial by media, really hitting at home hard. He's eating them alone. I'm like, of course you are.
Right.
And it ends with the filmmaker saying, like,
did your grandma really say that about the pancake?
No, I made that up years ago. She could have, but she didn't.
Oh, I made that up years ago.
Yeah.
She could have. I mean, that was her way, but no, she totally didn't say it. And I'm like, of course she didn't. Did anyone believe she really said that stupid pancake is thin? Of course you did, sweetheart.
I did.
But you know what? Your pizzazz factor is through the roof, so you get a pass.
Oh my god, girl, we did episode 4 of Trial by Media. That was crazy.
Scrooge, what an asshole.
So the next one is called Big Dance. It's about this horrible, horrible thing that happens to a woman at a bar. The movie The Accused is based on it, the one with Jodie Foster.
Yeah, it's a horrible rape story. Just trigger warning if you want to watch or not watch or whatever, but it's real bad, so.
Yeah, so girl, tell the people where they can find us.
They can find us at truecrimeobsessed.com, and that's where all the promo codes are. I'm seeing a lot of people asking for the promo codes for our ads. They're
all
there.
Yeah. Steve updates it every week, you guys.
Every week, all of the merch and every single penny of the merch is going to charities that we also have on the website of where that's going. And we are at True Crime Obsessed Podcast on Instagram. And we are at True Crime Obsessed, no ED, on Twitter. You are at, I'm just on a roll now.
Here we go, girl.
You are at Patrick Hines on Twitter and at Patrick Hines _ on Insta, yes?
That's right. And you are Jillian with a G on all the things.
Job's so much easier.
I know. You guys, we are going to start going live on Instagram once a week. I don't know if we've picked an exact day or time or whatever yet, but follow us on Instagram so that when you get the notification, you'll see us. We're going to hang out. We're going to take your questions. We're going to just be together for a little bit. It's something that's really fun to do, and it's another way to talk to you guys.
Yeah, we wanted to. We just got to get the final plans down, but we'll let you know. There's going to be a graphic. I mean, it's going to be a whole thing. It's going to be a whole thing. You'll know.
Oh, and lastly, I forgot about the Patreon, you guys. If you're looking for more fun, laughs, good times.
Fun, laughs, good times.
Over 140 full bonus episodes to download and binge right this second. We're in the middle of All Be Gone in the Dark, the HBO doc about the Golden State Killer.
Right. We just finished McMillions. Before that, Tiger King, Don't F with Cats, Madeleine McCann.
Lacey Peterson.
The Jinx.
It's every series you've ever wanted us to cover is there on the Pates, you guys. Patreon.com/truecrimeobsessed or truecrimeobsessed.com. Click on the Patreon link. And we love you.
We love you. Thank you so much for hanging with us. I can't believe this is it's a weird job, but it's a fucking great one. How about that?
Yeah, we are so thrilled. So thank you.
Thrilled beyond belief.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Bye. Can you say the company name, girl?
Health South.
How do you do it? Health South.
I'm a witch. I can do a lot of things. I'm actually causing this thunderstorm right now. This lightning storm. See how whenever we needed it to be quiet, it's quiet now?
Wow. Amazing. Wow.
Wow.
Girl, can you believe this is our job?
No. No, I can't.
You just said Rashnishis for a living.
Again, a word that just makes you sound drunk.
One of his boats also has he painted the Monopoly guy on it. What the fuck is that?
I have two pages about that. Are you there yet in your notes?
No. It just occurred to me.
We have to rewind for 1 second. Welcome to the outtakes, everybody. Jim the lawyer, his office, just if I may. The poster of that rat and the cheese, it's framed. Yes. It's in a frame where it's
with
that.
With the tie that he was wearing that day.
So there's a tie that he wore that had rat and cheese over and over and over again, like a tie pattern. And all of these handwritten notes from the trial and a spatula with the famous pancake quote on it. It's framed, but the spatula isn't engraved. So he basically printed it at home on hello, my name is sticker, one of those things. It's just so weird. It's dude, you're hanging on to all the wrong shit, girl.